Father God, just want to express our sincere gratitude to who you are and all you have done for us. It is only by your grace we can be standing before your presence. Thank you for the blood of Jesus shed on each one of us so that we can enter the Holy of Holies with full confidence in trusting Jesus. We humbly ask your Holy Presence to be here. Send your Holy Spirit and let him hover over us to touch our spirit with his spirit so that we would be able to understand what you have to say and what you're up to. We give all the honor and glory to your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today we are going to talk about faith. Faith is not a static thing. It is rather a growing entity. It is more than just believing. The ultimate goal of faith is action. So we'll see today the progress of faith of a person who faced Jesus during his crisis. And we are going to develop three principles, three stages of faith from that person's life. Please turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. We are going to read verses 46 through 54. And here is the word of God. John 4, 46 through 54. Therefore, he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was imploring him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son lives." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started off. And as he was now going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was living. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was that hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and the whole household. And verse 54, "And this is again a second sign that Jesus performed when he had come out of Judea into Galilee." Let us recap some background. We know that Jesus had a great revival meeting in Samaria. And he now moves his home turf, Galilee. And he goes back to Cana of Galilee, where he performed his first miracle. We don't know why he revisited Cana. And perhaps one theory is to greet the newlywed couple. And Jesus' reputation was rising. And many people who accompanied his Jerusalem tour spread the news of Jesus and what he did in Jerusalem. So when he revisited Cana of Galilee, there was a person who came to see Jesus. And this man is a royal official and whose son was sick. Let's look at verse 46 and 47 once more. "And therefore he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was imploring him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death." So this is the introductory remark of this new episode. This man was a royal official whose son was sick. And they live in Capernaum. The royal official is Basilikos in Greek, which means this man was in this man was a man of high standing in the court of King Herod. And Capernaum was the center of Galilee, where a prominent synagogue was located, and it was a city where the business and government buildings were located. So compared to Cana and Capernaum, Capernaum maybe we can say it's like a Washington DC capital, kind of all the government and the cultural and business center. And maybe Cana is some kind of some small town in Virginia, kind of shabby and, you know, undeveloped town, about 20 miles apart. So that's kind of the historical backdrop. This man lived in Capernaum, but he had his own crisis. His son was sick. He was on the verge of death. And this man was desperate to see Jesus. He was seeking miracle from Jesus. And it is not obvious from the Gospel of John, but we know that he walked almost 20 miles from Capernaum to Cana just to see Jesus. So it is not just a distance he traveled, but it is in his humble attitude that overcomes his social status. People who live in Capernaum had really no reason to travel all the way to Cana. And his action would cause a sensation, even controversy, but he didn't care what people would say. Think about it. Jesus was a carpenter from Nazareth, and this man is a royal official in the King Herod's palace. He would have no reason. He would have no reason to see Jesus unless his son was sick. And this man was desperate to obtain the help he needed so much, namely his son's healing. I think, I don't know how you started your faith, journey of your faith, but there might have been some crisis in your life that drew you to seek something that is different. I think this man, triggering point of his faith was his own crisis. So I think I would say faith is an expectation. Faith expects something we cannot do within our own capacity, but faith is seeking something for what God can do for us. So faith, the beginning stage of faith is expectation. Faith expects something extraordinary, something miraculous, something that which we cannot do anything about. So the royal official had an expectation for Jesus. He knew Jesus can heal his son, because he may have heard Jesus turned water into wine, and he might also have heard what Jesus did in Jerusalem. So with that expectation, he came to seek out Jesus. You know, this expectation may be a rudimentary faith, blind faith, which was triggered by his crisis. Yet, this is a form of faith to believe that Jesus can do something for him. At this stage, he believed that Jesus should come with him to Capernaum and see his dying son to heal him, so he was imploring Jesus to do so. You know, obviously, this man did not have full understanding of who Jesus was. And I don't think Jesus, I don't think this man knew Jesus is the savior of the world. And this man was not a savior seeker per se. He didn't have emptiness of his soul or, you know, need for his, you know, soul's salvation. He was rather a sign seeker, miracle seeker. He was driven by his desperate situation to seek Jesus who can do something for his dying son. Which is okay, because, you know, when we started our own faith, we did not fully understand who Jesus was, but something triggered in our life that made us to draw the presence of God, the blessing of God, the miracle of God. So we cannot criticize him. He had two choices to make when his son was dying. The first choice would be that he stayed in Capernaum, do nothing, but take the destiny of his son into his own destiny. And second choice is what he did. He came all the way from Capernaum to seek Jesus for a miracle. Although this man's faith at this stage is rudimentary, it is still faith in his developing stage. You know, faith is an expectation. You expect God can do something for you. God can do something you cannot do. A drowning man would catch at the straw. That's the expression. You do anything that is available to you when you are drowning. And when you are helpless, you seek God for a miracle. And this royal official began to seek Jesus with this mindset. Perhaps many of us begin our journey of faith with the expectation that God can do something for us. You know, faith is an expectation. This is the first stage. Now, let us look at verses 48 and 49. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Let me say up front, second principle, faith refuses disappointment. Faith refuses disappointment. You know, with this man's request to come down with him to Capernaum to heal his son, Jesus spoke to him with the unwelcoming remark, very bleak statement. People would not believe unless they were supplied with signs and wonders. Jesus was calling for a higher level of faith. You know, don't be driven by signs and miracles, but have true faith. It was rather a very cold call upon this man. But this royal man did not give up with the bleak statement of Jesus addressed to him. This may well be a test of faith. This man did not get discouraged, nor gave up. He relentlessly pursued Jesus for his healing. He said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." He kept saying the same thing. He doesn't get affected. You know, discouragement often stands in the way of faith. You know, we cannot avoid situations where we are discouraged. You know, we can be discouraged with people. We can be discouraged with our circumstances. Your health situation or financial situation or children issue. There are always, you know, circumstances that are not in our favor. You know, discouragement are always part of our life, unfortunately, and we cannot avoid discouragement. Instead, we have to acknowledge the reality of discouragement. And given that, what is more important is how to deal with that. The growing faith refuses to stay in discouragement. And in order to grow in faith, we have to learn how to respond when waves of discouragement hit hard on us. In Matthew 15, we have a similar story of a Syrophoenician woman, or Canaanite woman, who came to Jesus seeking the deliverance of her daughter, who was demon-possessed. She didn't know what to do. So she came to Jesus seeking help. And facing her, Jesus made a statement that made her discouraged, I think. Jesus said, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. You know, sometimes we wonder, Jesus is not that nice. He just cut to the chase. And, you know, Jesus was basically saying his priority of his ministry was to minister to the Jewish people. And dogs, actually, it's not like a dogs in our connotation. Dogs means, they refer Gentiles as dogs in Jewish idiom. So don't feel so bad. Maybe dog lovers, maybe you don't feel so bad, but in general, dogs versus human has different connotation, but that's cultural, idiom. Only Jewish people can understand. But upon hearing this bleak statement addressed to her, this woman refused to be discouraged and kept on seeking Jesus. And she said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. You know, with this relentless faith, Jesus granted God's deliverance over her daughter. You know, the point is that discouragement can be a stumbling block to our faith, and it is. Yet, we need to overcome it. You know, faith is a refusal to discouragement. It's a test. When discouraging situation comes, it's a testing your faith. And when it comes, deal with it and, you know, don't give it up. Now let's look at how Jesus responded to this royal official. Look at verses 50 and 51. Jesus said to him, go, your son lives. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started off. And he was now going down. His slave met him, saying that his son was living. So this is a third point I'd like to make this morning. Faith acts in full trust of God's word. Faith acts. Look at this picture. This man is jumping. You know, he didn't stay on his side, but he jumped to go to the other side of the cliff. In fully trusting God's word. So faith is action. Faith without action is dead, James said. And this is the last stage. With faith, we have to act upon the full trust of God's word, God's promise. A lot of people just believe in their mind and never put out in their obedient action and forfeit God's blessing, forfeit the growth of faith. This man thought Jesus had to come with him and see his son for healing to take place. But Jesus said something out of his expectation. Jesus simply commanded the man, go, your son lives. And when the royal official heard the word of Jesus, he simply believed and started off. It would have been extremely hard for him to turn away from Jesus and go home just with Jesus' assurance, Jesus' word, that his son would live. And yet, he had faith enough to turn away and walk back the 20 miles journey back with nothing but having the word of Jesus in his heart, fully trusting Jesus. You know, faith acts in full trust of the word of God. You know, this is actually three points that I made is just happening like, you know, almost like instantaneously, back to back. But I believe from this man, we can see the stage of the progress of our own faith. You know, we begin with some kind of expectation without really knowing what Jesus can offer to us, but come to Jesus. You know, and then, but that's the beginning stage. That's great. But second stage, as we try to believe, there might be a lot of disappointment. You know, crisis happen, and you know, workplace and you know, life situations and your marital situation, your children issue, all kinds of you know, crisis will come. And some of us have experienced a lot of them already, even at the young age, let alone the old people. But faith develops through those crises as we refuse all kinds of disappointment, continue to trust in God. But the last stage is action. If God says something, we not just take it into our heart, but carry out in our own action, in obedient action, whatever that is, whatever that command of Jesus is, we begin to obey through action. And through action, like this man jump from one side to the other, and only when you get to the other side, you understand who God is. You understand what God's word is all about. And also, you're going to see different season of life, and also a lot of blessings might have been stored on the other side, but only when you move, trusting God and acted upon that, only then you can experience the blessing of God. A lot of times, we stay on the other side. We think we believe, but our life is continuous struggle because we have not acted upon the promise of God. So the very essence of maturing faith is to believe what Jesus said is true and do it. Do it. That's the key point I'd like to make this morning. If Jesus says a thing, it is not a case of it may be true, but it is a case of it must be true. Must be true. Think about a moment when, you know, what was running through the heart of this royal official as he was going back to his home. He exchanged his lack of faith or doubt with the full trust of Jesus as for the healing of his dying son. He made a resolute decision to trust Jesus in spite of uncertainties lying ahead of him. His turning back from Jesus is the evidence for his full trust in Jesus' word. And he would have still lingered around Jesus had he not had fully trusted in Jesus' word. But the text says this man did not linger around Jesus any longer. He started off. He was heading back to his hometown. He departed from Jesus having the full trust in the word of Jesus. And the later story confirmed us that Jesus indeed healed the boy. And the whole house believed in Jesus. The man did not believe Jesus just because Jesus healed his son. He fully trusted the word of Jesus and acted upon that trust even before he saw his healed son. This is the catch. You will see the blessing of God because you have trusted in the promise of God and acted upon your life based on that trust. The thing is trust. Trust has to be seen in action. If action doesn't follow, you actually have not fully trusted the Lord. You think you did. But unless action follows your belief, the full trust has not been exerted upon your life. In many times, we forfeit God's blessing because we don't fully trust the word of God, thus fail to act upon his word. Let me give you a specific example. This is an application. You know, let us think about Jesus' command. Give God what belongs to him. When people tested Jesus with tax issue, Jesus said, give Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give God what belongs to God. Mark 12:17. You know, this was a trick question to trap Jesus. You know, Jesus suggested that people should go ahead and pay the required tax, even if, you know, the Jewish nation was under the occupation of the Romans. But Jesus said, pay tax what belongs to Caesar. But then Jesus said something that he reframed the whole issue and give to God what belongs to God. The main point of Jesus is our stewardship. Our stewardship. In light of kingdom of God to come, he urged people to honor God with what belongs to God. You know, I would ask each one of you with one question for further reflection. Are you giving to God what belongs to him? You know, are you giving to God the things that are God's in your life? Are there places that you are holding back? You know, one of the most sensitive places is finance. Finance. You know, God promised his blessing upon tithing in Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3:10, let me read it for you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in your house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If you will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Basically what God is saying, bring the whole tithe to me. Set apart your 10% of your income, the first fruit, and bring it to God. Bring it to me. And then he says, see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. So what God is prescribing to the believer is, if you give God your trust, you know, tithing is your trust. It's an action of your trust that God provides. And if you do that, God's promise is he will open the window of heaven and pour out his blessing, abundant blessing, much more than 10%. It's a principle of multiplication in God's mind. God can prescribe you 100%, but he did not, but only 10%. And then if you wholly give your offering, your tithing to God, God's promise is he will open the door of heaven and then pour out his blessing, abundant blessing upon you, so that you'd not have to struggle with finance. You know, this is the word of God who wants to bless our life, in particular, the financial blessing. And his prescription was the whole tithe. Simply put, the way of God to bless our finance is to give him what belongs to him. Very simple. And everyone belongs to God, and we should give him everything to God, but God prescribed us to give the whole tithing. The whole tithing. And how is it connected with the story of the royal official's faith? You know, he's walking back to his home in full trust of Jesus' word. It's tied with our full trust in the word God spoke in Malachi 3:1. Giving is action. So offering is an action. He has not yet seen the blessing of Jesus who healed his dying son, but he acted upon Jesus' word. And he see the blessing, the healing of his son. We all know that tithing is important. It is God's command. It is God's way of blessing our finance. But we are diverging into two groups of people. Those who are faithfully tithing, you know, like the royal official who trusted Jesus' word, trusted God's promise and acted upon the promise of God. And when they faithfully tithe, they also have received God's financial blessing for their lives, just as the royal official who experienced the healing of his own dying son. You know, faith comes with the action of trust and sees the blessing of God. And for those who are faithful in their tithing, you have already experienced this principle of God in your life. Think about it. I have seen so many people in my church life, how God blessed their lives because of their faithfully obeying Malachi 3:10. God honors those who honor Him. You know, if you have financial trouble, always chasing after the last penny of your life, check if you are doing tithing in full trust of God's promise. You know, honor God with your tithing, and then He will honor you by His heavenly blessing until it overflows. It's not just you just get by. God will provide you abundantly so that you don't have to worry about your finance anymore, because you have given your full trust in the promise of God, the blessing of God. You know, faith acts. That's the key. Faith acts in the trust of God's word. And trust is not only believing, but also, more importantly, acting upon the word of God. Trust God's word from Malachi and Jesus' word from Mark. You know, give God what belongs to Him, and give God the whole tithing and experience God's financial blessing. You know, this is not just financial area, but in other areas we apply the same principle. When you trust the Lord, you know, act upon the trust. That is called full trust. Half trust is very miserable, just like this man. In between two sides of the world, he may be having one leg on one side, the other leg on the other side. A lot of Christians live in that way, not fully trusting the Lord. But we need to jump from one side to the other to truly understand and truly experience the blessing of God upon His word. Jump upon that. Make your decisive action in all areas of your life. Give God what belongs to Him. It's a stewardship, financial stewardship, and we can apply for time stewardship. If you give God your slice of time, you will not chase after your busy schedule. Your hectic life will be turned into a very peaceful life. You slice your time and honor Him at the very beginning of your day. You know, let your faith be an obedient action in all matters you do. And give God your full trust and enjoy His blessing. Let's pray. Father, we truly acknowledge that You are all in all. And You have given us and You will take away. And You acknowledge that You are the Lord of all. You know, our time, our finance, you know, anything that we do, You are the ultimate Lord. Father, let our faith truly grow into the final stage. Let action really be part of our life. That action based on full trust in Your promise, Your word. Thank You that Your word is forever. Thank You that Your mercy is also forever. We give all our heart and all our mind, all our strength to You. Let us love You that way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
My song, this cornerstone, the song.
Of the rock, Jesus Christ. Let our life be built upon that rock. Stand firm in full trust of you. We thank you for your blessing upon this church and all of us. May your name be lifted up as we face out the challenges of our life, fully trusting in you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Father who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen.